Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Jeff, I've been enjoying the first series too. Oh, it's amazing.
It's really cool.
Good morning, everyone. Good to see you. Dreams. Dreams are funny things, aren't they? You know, sometimes we kind of get caught up in dreamland and just our minds wander. And, you know, when we kind of line it up and with God, we think, well, am I allowed to dream? Is dreaming something I'm supposed to do? You know, I've heard that says that God, you know, determines everything, that he's predestined us and that that's the way that our life is going to be. And so we just have to work out what God says and follow it. But then other times we're encouraged to think about our future and think about what is possible for us and what God might like. And so we can get a little bit confused about, well, what do I do with dreams? Well, I think dreams are great. I like dreaming. I dream all the time. But I really believe that God plants dreams in us and desires in us and ideas in us, but not just for us to go, okay, that's it, off I go and do it. He plants them because he wants to work with us in those spaces. But what happens when we don't know what to do? You know, when we've got ideas, we've got dreams, but they're just, how do we go forward with them? You know, Jeff and I were living in Thailand 20 years ago, and we were living the dream, the Christian dream. We were missionaries. We were doing the God thing. And we were living there, and we had it all mapped out, and the plan was I was pregnant with our first child. We got the hospital, we, you know, had the right doctor. We'd even bought across a car seat from Australia because we were good parents and we wanted to make sure it was Australian standard to go in our ute that didn't actually have a car safety hook. Anyway, we would have been safe somehow. But, you know, we had all these ideas and dreams, and then it just actually came crashing down. The work suddenly shifted, things changed, and even though there were other options that we could have followed, other, you know, doors opened in Thailand, we never felt quite right about those. And, in fact, we had this sense that God said 5 years in Sydney, go back. But, you know, there we are, and we just feel like, well, what we thought we were doing, what we thought was the God thing, what we thought was right is suddenly not happening. What do we do now? Can you imagine this? We land back in Sydney. We had no car, so we had to get picked up. We had no house, so we had to go back and live with my parents. We had no job. We had no church because things had changed with our church while over there, and suddenly we didn't have one. So things shift. And we had no hospital, which was kind of essential because I was about the same size as Alicia. And so we had all these questions, and we didn't know where to go. But we had this verse, which is something that is what we family pin our family on. And it, you know, it'd been kind of in our world for a while, and we were reminded again of it. Matthew 6:33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We really felt like God was saying, you know, seek my kingdom, seek me, and everything else will sort out. But what was that thing? Like, we'd been seeking his kingdom, we thought. So what was it now? How do we seek your kingdom, God? So we needed some action to show that we were putting him first in our dreams and in everything. Well, there's a man in the Old Testament called Joseph, and he knew a lot about dreams. He was kind of dealing with the dreams where you sleep and you get a dream. But I really feel like the things that he learned through his story and his experience are really applicable even to us with our dreams and our hopes for our future and the things that we think about. They're applicable, you know, to our family. They're applicable to our careers. They're applicable to all of those little bits and pieces of life that make up our world. And I really feel like that these things that Joseph learnt are going to help you this morning. It doesn't matter if you're trying to work out, you know, what to do with your life. It doesn't matter if you've got career options or study options or relationships or homes or places to live or just, you know, any part of your future that you might be dreaming about or tentatively thinking about. I really feel like that Joseph has some keys that can help you in that journey, and it doesn't matter what part of the journey you're on. So let's see what he found out. First thing he found out the hard way. He says, be careful. He found out, be careful who you share your dreams with. Now, Joseph, they call him the dreamer in the Bible. His brothers called him the dreamer. And he did. He received a couple of dreams from God, and they were amazing dreams. They were dreams where his family, even his mum and dad, were actually going to bow down to him. But he was only 17, and he was one of the youngest in the family. And when he blurted this out to his brothers, they didn't take too kindly to that. Even his mum and dad felt that he was stepping over the line a bit, that that's just going way too far. You see, Joseph probably chose the wrong people to share his dreams with. When we have a dream, you know, God asks us to trust him in that space. In Proverbs 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not depend on your own understanding. At age 17, Joseph had no idea what that dream meant. He just kind of took it as something pretty cool. But he didn't understand what it meant. He needed to learn to trust in God in that space, to not to try to take hold of it and take it on and do what he thought he needed to do with it, but to trust God in that. And in order to do that, he probably needed to get around him people who would encourage him to trust God. He needed to gather people who would hear the dream but not slam the dream, who would hear it and go, okay, Joseph, what does that mean now? What are you going to do today to trust God in that dream? And that's what we need too. You know, some of our dreams, we don't understand them. We get this idea and this thought, and we think, well, what is that about? And we don't understand it. And some of our dreams, you know, they can be a little bit out there. It might be something way for the future. And you think, how am I ever going to get there? And it looks like it's not possible. You don't look like the right fit for that thing, but yet your heart's there. Gather around you people who will show you and walk with you in how to trust God, how to just put one foot in front of the other and just trust God in those spaces. Not look at the big dream, but just in the everyday, just put one foot in front of the other and just trust God. That's how we keep God first in our dreams. We're wise with our sharing. We gather people around us who are going to lead us back to just trusting God. Second thing that Joseph discovered is that when we work for the Lord, we will be blessed and be a blessing. Joseph ended up being offending his brothers so much that they sold him to Egypt to be a slave. So he turned up in Egypt and he was bought by a man called Potiphar and ended up being in Potiphar's house. And if Joseph looked at his situation, it probably looked like that dream was just a fantasy. There's no way that that would happen now. And he could have been feeling quite down and just, well, just questioning everything. But Joseph didn't do that. Instead, he chose a different path. He kind of must have read the New Testament ahead of time, because it says in Colossians 3:23, it said, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as though working for the Lord and not for human masters." Joseph took hold of his life and he didn't look at all the bad bits in it, but he said, "This is where I am and I'm going to do my best." He knew who he belonged to. He knew who his family was. He'd probably heard the words that had been spoken over his grandfather and his great-grandfather, and he knew that he was a part of the family of God. And so therefore, he was going to honour God wherever he was. In whatever situation he was in, he chose to honour God. And so Joseph extended that all through his time in Potiphar's house, and he rose up in that household and he was acknowledged as being an amazing worker and working hard, and so Potiphar gave him authority over all of the household under him. But then when that went south and he got accused wrongly and put back into jail, he didn't just lose the plot then. Again, he chose, no, I'm going to do my best in this space as well. And so again, he just put his best into being a prisoner, whatever that looks like. But he rose up through that and became one of the heads of the prisoners that the jailer would trust and gave honour to. And then again, when he ended up working under Pharaoh, he put his best into that and did the best for that nation. Even though it wasn't his country, even though they weren't his people, he did his utmost best to look after that nation and make it prosper. What is it for you today? What is it that you're in, your situation? You know, are you in the middle of a crushed dream? Jeff and I, when, we kind of had to find that thing, what was it going to be where we could put God first? But we were feeling down too. But for you, what is it? Are you in a situation where you just don't think that dream's going to happen? Put your best into it. Do your utmost. Are you in a work situation where it's not where you thought you wanted to be? You know, you had a different job planned. Put your best into it. Rise up and be the most valued worker in that space. Are you in a school situation where you just really prefer not to be? Or are you going somewhere you'd prefer not to go? Put your best into that space. Rise up and be the best student. Be the best person in that space that you can possibly be. That's what Joseph learned. And through that, not only was Joseph blessed, not only did good things happen to him, but he actually became a blessing to other people. Because he worked hard in Potiphar's house, his household flourished. Because he worked hard in the jail, the environment there flourished. Because he worked hard under Pharaoh, that nation flourished. We can be a blessing wherever we are. We keep God first in our dreams, we will work our best in any situation. The third thing that Joseph learned was he learned to choose God's way of doing life. Now, when he was back in Potiphar's house and he rose up and he had this position of power, he could do anything. Like, he could say go and people would go, and come and they'd come. He was in charge, essentially. But he also knew that there were always decisions within that that he would have to make, and that he'd have to make them wisely. In Proverbs 3, verse 6, it says, "Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." Now, one of those paths that was presented before Joseph was in the form of Potiphar's wife. And she really liked Joseph. She thought he was a very handsome young man, and she really wanted to get to know him a lot closer. And so she tempted him. She tempted him to come to her. But Joseph knew his limits. He knew his limits because he knew what God said. He knew God said, honor someone else's wife. Honor someone else's husband. Don't take what is not rightfully yours. He knew God's way of doing life. And so he knew the limits to his power. And he knew limits and the boundaries to what was open for him. And so Joseph chose to say no and to put that limit there and to not go forward. In the middle of that, it caused his station to come crashing down again, and that's when he ended up in jail. But see, if we put God first in our dreams, we know the limits and we know that he will take care of it. We can trust him that it'll be okay. God first in those dreams is so much more important than doing what we think other people might want us to do, or being tempted away. You know, what is it for you today? Is there an attractive proposition in our business or in work or, you know, wage, or is there something where you might have to go somewhere or come away from something that when you weigh it up, you think, actually, that's going to cause me problems. That's going to draw me away from God first. It might draw me away from my family first, and God asked me to look after my family. Is there something in your world that seems like it's tempting you away from God? It looks good, but it's not actually going to further that dream. If we keep God first in our dreams, we actually know what those limits are. He helps us with those decisions, puts those things in our hearts, and he says, that's enough, stop there. The fourth thing that Joseph learnt was to be patient. Take the long view of life. Joseph was 17 when he first received that dream about his brothers and his family bowing down to him. And then he went to Egypt and he was a slave and he was in jail. And, you know, so many things up and down and round about that formed his life. But 22 years later, Joseph found himself standing in the presence of 10 young men, his brothers, bowing down before him, asking him for grain. You see, Joseph had spent the last 7 years in charge of Egypt's economy, essentially. He'd understood this dream that Pharaoh had that said that there were 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine coming. And Pharaoh had asked Joseph to take charge of organizing for that country to survive those years. And so Joseph, with God's wisdom, had set aside grain in those 7 years of plenty and stored it up ready for the 7 years of famine. And not only did this famine affect Egypt, but it affected all the lands surrounding. And suddenly, as Joseph is standing there with these brothers who didn't actually recognize him, bowing before him, you know, what was going through his mind? Did he get that flashback for that dream and think, I told you so? What was going on? In that space, Joseph was actually humbled. In that space, Joseph realized that in these last 22 years, that God had been in control the whole time. That through the good and the bad, God was there. You know, we just sang that song, you know, Waymaker, Miracle Worker. You know, it just talked about that sense that God is there through every single thing. Joseph knew. He said it in Genesis 40, verse 8, to someone else who had a dream. Joseph said, interpreting dreams is God's business. You know, understanding our dreams is what God does. Interpreting them, translating them, bringing them to life is God's business. That's what God did with Joseph's dreams. The dream was there. But then, you know, stuff got in the way. Stuff kind of seemed to throw it off course. But all through it, God is keeping weaving what that dream's purpose was. And the purpose of that dream that Joseph had absolutely nothing to do with Joseph. But it had everything to do with God's glory. It had to do with the fact that God wanted to look after his people. This funny little tribe that was only just starting to grow. These 12 brothers became the nation of Israel, and God wanted to look after them. And so he orchestrated for this man, Joseph, to be the way where they would be looked after, because God had a greater plan for this funny little tribe called Israel, and it was our salvation. That all these things were working out for God's glory and for blessing the entire world. That dream was not about Joseph. That dream was about God, and it was about his glory and about his blessing others. If we keep God first in our dreams, you know, God takes hold of them. He takes hold of them and he weaves them into his purposes and into his dreams for us. He translates them for his glory. What is it? What is it in your dream? Like, does it seem like it's not happening? Does it seem like it's not possible? Just be patient. Take the long view. And remember that it's not actually about you. As amazing as your dream might be, our dreams are for God's glory and for his purposes, and so that we can bless other people. You know, when Jeff and I put God first in our dreams, we had that decision to make. So what's the one thing? What's the one thing right in front of us right now with all these decisions around us? What's the one thing we can do to put God first? So we found a church. We felt like that was the first thing that we could do to put God first in every single thing, everything else that was going to happen in our life. And so we stumbled across Christian City Church Ride, which has become C3 Church Ride. We ended up there, and from that place we chose, okay, well then we'll live in this area and we'll get this work and we'll buy this car and we'll go to this hospital. And all those little parts of the puzzle started to flow. And then over the last 19 years, we have seen how God has taken hold of our dream and translated that in a way that we couldn't probably have imagined. You see, when Jeff and I came back from Thailand and we heard that thing 5 years in Sydney, our immediate thought was, okay, 5 years in Sydney and then we can get trained up and go back to Thailand. Because we probably were a little bit, you know, inexperienced when we went there and we might need to know a little bit more. So let's use the 5 years for that. Well, you know, God does things in funny ways when we put him first. And even though that dream was there, God just, you know, one step at a time, as we put him first, we found ourselves in Bathurst 14 years ago. That was the 5 years in Sydney, and then we moved to Bathurst. And then from that space, from this church plant, what we have seen is we've seen our influence in Thailand to be so much bigger and involve so much more people, so many more people than what Jeff and I had originally thought. You see, we thought it'd just be the two of us and a baby, you know, going back to Thailand. But through this church, we've seen compassion projects, and I don't know how many kids we're sponsored through Compassion in Thailand, but a lot. We've seen new church plants coming out in the tribal areas and the village areas in northern Thailand. We've been part of C3 Church Bangkok and blessing that city and starting to grow that church. Like, how much bigger is that than the dreams that Jeff and I had? God took hold of our dream and he wove it into his. Today you might have decisions to make. You might have dreams that you're wondering what to do with. They could be dreams for study or work, careers, homes, families, you know, travel one day. All sorts of dreams. God actually wants to dream with you. He never intends on this being just a, you know, okay, this is what I say, you go and work it out. Or even think up something and I'll work with you. No, he wants the two to weave in together, to meld in together. He's given you heart and desires for a purpose. But they're a purpose much greater than what you think they are. They're a purpose that's in him. But God also has plans and dreams for you. This is what he says about his dreams for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, he says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." That's what God dreams for you. It's pretty broad, isn't it? Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And within that, he gives you a heart and desires. And he wants to weave the two in together. What is it you need to do today, right now? You know, with that dream that might be sitting there and you don't understand it, or the dream that you think has been crushed, or the dream where you've got two different choices and you don't know which way to take. What is it today? What's the one step you can make? Just the one little thing. It's just today, and it's one step where you can put God first in that decision. Just think about that situation. And if you're not quite sure, just ask him. You know, when we want to put God first, he really likes that. And if we ask him how to do that, he'll answer us. It might just be this little sense in your spirit that you go, yeah, that's the way. Okay, I'm going to do that. But just ask him.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.